Welcome to HBW's Over the Counter podcast. I'm David Ridley, and I'll be chatting with industry experts and insiders about the latest trends, issues, and intelligence in consumer healthcare. Consumers are rewriting the rules when it comes to where they're going for information and the type of information they're looking for, reports Kaizo's Anita Nahal, speaking to HBW Insights Over the Counter about the agency's latest Communicating Health Messages report. Trust in social media has increased, and personal beliefs and lived experiences are playing a larger role in shaping attitudes to health information, explains Nahal, who is director at the London-based PR agency. However, consumers are also continuing to tune out from health messages and be less critical of sources. To help consumers navigate this new reality, consumer health companies need to adapt, rethink, and reset their communication strategies, Nahal advises. Hi, Anita. Welcome to the Over the Counter podcast. How are you?
Hi, I'm really well. Thank you. Thank you for having me and inviting us on.
Of course. So it's nice to have Kaizo back on the podcast. Would you like to just introduce yourself? You can introduce Kaizo again as well, just in case listeners haven't heard the other podcasts we did.
Sure, definitely. So I'm Anita Nahal. I'm one of the directors at Kaizo. We are an independent PR and content agency. We describe ourselves as working with big brands and brands with big ambitions, because we think that's a really nice way to encapsulate the range of clients that we work with across sectors. So that's anything from global corporations, multinational organizations, to smaller challenger brands and adventurous startups. So a really wide range of clients that we work with, health being a really big part of our business. And within that, we work with a variety of organizations and businesses in consumer and OTC health, pharma, well-being, and offer a range of specialist services, everything from corporate communications, patient advocacy, stakeholder relations, through to social media management and crisis management as well. So very varied, which we love.
Excellent. So you also do this yearly health communication report, and this is what we spoke to your colleague about last year.
Yes.
So we're catching up with this again. Do you want to just again introduce that report, and maybe just say very broadly what's changed this year?
Sure. So yeah, as you kind of alluded to there, so this is something we've been doing. It's the third issue of the report. We started it in 2020 to, I guess, get a snapshot of the pandemic, which was such a, you know, unprecedented, was the word of the time, but moment in time, particularly from a healthcare point of view and a healthcare comms point of view. And since then, we've continued to track the kind of consumer attitudes to health information, where they go to for trusted health information, and also their concerns around health as well, and how that's evolved over the last 4 years now. So we did the research in January 2024. And I would say what we observed was definitely a continuation of some of the trends we saw when we last did this in December 2022. So we're still seeing this element of tuning out from health information, particularly where it's not relatable, even if it comes from a source that they trust the most. I think the biggest standout finding for us as well was around social media. So we've seen a massive 70% increase in the number of consumers relying on social media now to provide them with trustworthy health information. And that's just in the last couple of years. So that was a huge shift. And that was consistent across all age groups. So what we've also seen as well is that personal beliefs and lived experiences are playing a larger role in shaping attitudes towards health information. I think, you know, some really big percentages. So we saw a massive drop in, I think, from 70% down to 45% in people losing trust information that came from HCPs, for example, which to us is saying that people are much less likely to interrogate where the health information is coming from. So I think, you know, what we're seeing and what this is showing us is that both personal experiences and relatability are really important factors when it comes to earning consumer trust in health information. So very much a continuation of what we've seen previously, but definitely amplified, I would say, for this year.
Yeah, there's some really interesting stuff in there. I think some of that you've mentioned there we'll come back to in a minute. I was just going to maybe ask a bit more about mental health. This is like a continued trend, and we've seen this, you know, elsewhere. Really important. People are really worried about their mental health. They're suffering more from mental health problems. And as you mentioned, the pandemic was a really important part of this. And I think, you know, brought some additional mental health issues but also more attention on it. You know, people thinking about how to manage that and consumer health being a part of that conversation, at least. But I was just thinking about mental health and social media, because you mentioned social media and where people are getting information. Mm-hmm. What's the link between these two things? Because we know that social media makes people anxious, like using social media too much or the kinds of things that people are seeing on social media. But at the same time, people are going to social media perhaps because they're not able to get their information elsewhere. And I'm thinking about health information in particular, you know, consumer health, or, you know, basically going to Google and looking for things about their health, whereas in the past they might have gone to the doctor or to the pharmacist or whatever. So what do you think about this link between mental health and social media? Is it always negative, positive?
Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it? I think what our research showed us is that people are more concerned about their health this year than they were last year. So that's the backdrop, I think, for all of this, which is really important to consider as well. And yeah, as you said, mental health remains the leading concern for the people that we surveyed. I think you know, the latest figures show that there's something like more than 1.8 million people on waiting lists for mental health services. So there's obviously a massive need there. And I think what our findings show us is that social media is perhaps filling that gap at the moment, because it offers that element of accessibility that might be lacking for people, like you say, through the challenges in getting GP appointments, getting referrals. So I think definitely that, yeah, it's that element of being able to, it's constantly accessible, it's in your hand, you know, you can quickly Google something, like you say, or you can look at what other people are going through. Like you say, that conversation around mental health as well has changed massively over the last 4 years, people being much more open about it. I think what we are seeing, which is positive, in the spring budget, so the government announced, they committed about £3.4 billion, I think, to a technology and productivity plan with the NHS. You know, so that's looking at better using the data and the tech that we have readily available at our disposal, i.e. through our phones, through apps, and how that can better support our mental and physical health. And it's absolutely an opportunity as well for brands, I think. And this is some of the recommendations we talked about in the report as well, about when it comes to communication plans, you know, are they 360? Are they fully integrated? Are you thinking about the different channels, the different formats? Are you where your customers and where your consumers are? You know, so just really understanding that. I think what we've seen over the last few years and what we're seeing this year in particular is that consumers are really rewriting the rules when it comes to where they're going for information and the type of information that they're looking for. So I think it's really about adapting and just making sure that brands and the clients that we work with are helping them to just rethink and reset a little bit this year in particular, as things slowly, not return to normal, but, you know, settle down, I think.
Yeah, I think, again, we'll maybe say a bit more about the role that consumer health companies can play, but I think that's already a key takeaway, isn't it? That if consumers are spending more time on social media and looking for things about their mental health, well, these are things that should be incorporated into brand communication strategies.
Yeah, you have to be there. You've got to be where they are. You know, it's kind of the first bread and butter almost of any strategy, comms strategy. But it's just making sure that you're looking at all of these touch points, and I think what's possibly happening at the moment is that there are big gaps that you know, there are question marks around the credibility and the accuracy of some information that you can find online. So it's making sure that the brands, consumer healthcare brands in particular, are helping to fill that, balance those conversations, fill those gaps with credible information rooted in science. So
I mean, this points to something that I wanted to ask next, but you've mentioned already that people are perhaps not trusting the information that they're getting as much as they used to when it comes to maybe the kinds of sources that we would assume that people would trust. I mean, we're talking about healthcare professionals, but science in general. I mean, we know about the kind of conspiracy theories that were floating around recently and in the pandemic, especially around vaccines, etc. You know, there is that aspect of social media and online information that is taking people to places away from maybe historically trusted objective scientific sources. I mean, is this a really a big worry? I felt like that was quite alarming, maybe in the findings of the report.
It's definitely alarming, I think. And when we were going through the initial results, it was like, wow, that is a really big shift. I think, you know, also considering this point as well about the value that people are putting on personal experiences, you know, and perhaps what's the word, putting more emphasis and more importance on that rather than objective science information. I think this, I don't think that's anything new. In that sense, I think, you know, it's people relate to people like them. You know, emotional messages always outweigh scientific ones. We know that. I think it should really just serve as a reminder to comms professionals in particular that it's really a time of change. And I think 2024 has been labelled the year of change with, you know, the all of the elections and everything that's happening around the world at the moment. I think it's just time to kind of assess, take stock, think about where we are, and is your approach and is your strategy right for audiences today? I think, as we've been saying, we're seeing really this year in particular, we've moved well beyond the pandemic and the kind of the new rules of engagement that created in that snapshot of time. And it's, I think it's now it's time to really look and think, actually, we need a different approach here. And again, I'll go back to that point about relatability. And I think that's what our research really shows, that is a really key point when it comes to trust, as well as influence and behaviour change. It's still absolutely possible to reach people with messaging that's based in science. But it's how you deliver those messages and who you use to deliver those messages that's important, and finding that balance and finding the right people that can help you bridge the gap between representing these genuine lived experiences as well as the science. So I think, you know, that could be as simple as, you know, is it just translating messages copy into local languages? Is it engaging community or religious leaders? I think it's, you know, when we saw examples of this in COVID, perhaps a little bit, you know, too little too late, there's an element of that, but definitely I think it's an opportunity for brands here to look at how we bring all these elements together in an organic way to encourage positive changes. And you, how do we use social media and how do we use different channels, different formats to our advantage?
Yeah, I think jumping ahead maybe to a question I was going to ask later, but I think it's maybe more relevant now. The other aspect of this is about the diversity of experiences, isn't it? And I think, you know, that there's on the one side maybe a worry about the scepticism towards the objectivity of science and whatever. But on the other side, yeah, that there's a positive aspect of the richness of experience now, isn't there, about how we're actually recognizing that there are all sorts of different people with different experiences from different backgrounds, and that actually that should be a part of how companies communicate with consumers. So it's the positive side of it, isn't it? How important is that in the report when it comes to diversity as an aspect of that personal experience?
You know, a broad brush approach, one size fits all, doesn't really work when it comes to health. I think it's, you know, you really need to understand your audiences and your specific populations and subgroups. And I think where the biggest needs and gaps are and tailoring your approach to that. So just being hyper-targeted, essentially, and really focused. I think rather than going out with, we need to reach the maximum number of people, you can have a much bigger impact if you can really nail it down to, there's this group that needs the most support, or this is the biggest need, how can we really adapt and our communications to work with them. I think part of that point as well is this authenticity piece, and how you again, it goes back to who you're using, how you're telling your story and who you're using to tell it. And thinking about who is the most relatable and who is the most credible person or source for your specific audience. And, you know, moving and not being afraid to move away from tried and tested methods or spokespeople, and looking within your companies perhaps to be like, is there a better person that we could use to tell this story? Have we got, you know, the most senior person isn't necessarily the best fit for this, or the most experienced. You've got people who are more hands-on, or, you know, perhaps you've got someone who used to be a GP and they're also a parent, someone who's got that real life experience as well, that's just a little bit more relatable.
I mean, that was going to be my next question, is you've covered some of this already, but how do companies do this without it becoming tokenistic? Because you know, you could just think, oh, I need to tick this box, I need to tick that box,
yes, I'll do this,
but that's not really the way to go about it, is it?
No, like I say, as I was kind of saying before, it understanding piece, like knowing who your audiences are, really spending time with them, listening to them, using those insights, not just for comms, it's every layer of your organization, it's using this kind of audience insights, and then making sure you're adapting your approaches. And again, authenticity, it just has to be genuine. It has to feel like, you say, it's not just a tick box exercise, it has to work for your audience as well as for the company. So I think, yeah, as you said, just really trying to push our clients as well to think outside of the box a little bit. But I do think as well, social listening, those types of focus groups, advisory boards, anything where you can get that kind of direct input from your audience groups, your patient groups, is so valuable when when it comes to really effective messaging. So I think, you know, you can't underestimate the value that those types of exercises have, I would say.
I mean, we've basically gone through a lot of tips, you know, related to specific things we've talked about. But what would you say are the kind of key takeaways of the report for the consumer healthcare industry people that are listening to this podcast?
I think it's that we're very much, as I've said, we're in this new time now. Everything's kind of settling down into this is the world now. So I think it's very much about taking stock, reassessing your plans, reassessing, you know, it's not just the same old anymore, that doesn't work. Consumers don't want the same thing anymore, so we can't give them the same things anymore, we need to adapt as well. So I think it's just looking at your plans for 2024. There's never a bad time to kind of reflect and be like, actually, is this right, is this what our audience needs? This relatability, really key. Making sure that what you're doing fits with the environment and your audience today, and just adapting, keeping pace, and just understanding your audiences. And it feels like it should always be the first stage, and when you're putting any kind of plans together and strategies together, but just taking that time to know and not making assumptions, not taking what a medical person or HCP says as being correct, it's actually just going directly to the consumers, to the patients, and just knowing that the challenges that they face, that what their needs are, and understanding that. Because I think once you have that view, you're much better able to do all of the things that we talked about in terms of adapting, tailoring, super targeted campaigns and messaging that will hopefully be impactful and successful.
That's great. Yeah. Well, I mean, and also obviously working with good communications and PR agencies like Kaizo, and
of course,
we'll put the link. We wrote a story about the report previously, so we'll put the link to that in the podcast article as well.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we always share insights and kind of the work that we're doing and keeping up to speed with trends, etc., is obviously a really important part of our job and what we do with our clients. So definitely follow us on LinkedIn, Kaizo PR, K-A-I-Z-O, and that's the best place really to hear about the work that we're doing and kind of our latest research projects, etc. And you can also find the report on our website, kaizo.co.uk. So yeah, get in touch as well. My details are there. If you have any questions or if you'd like to chat, we're always open to conversations. So yeah, get in touch.
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Over the Counter so far. Don't forget to follow Pharma Intelligence Podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, and TuneIn. Also, check out HPW Insight at hpw.sightline.com for all the latest health, beauty, and wellness news and intelligence. Keep listening. This episode continues now.